Oral history interview, July the 11th, 1993. Name, John Michael Carlisle. Male. Address, 201 Main Street, Oxford, Alabama. Phone number, 831-7764, area code 205. Approximate age, 43. Date of birth, 3-23-50. Mother's name, Frankie Louise Carlisle Goodwin. Father's name, Edward William Carlisle, deceased. Places lived and when, Atlanta, Georgia, 1950 through 63, Jasper, Georgia, 63 to 72, Woodstock, Georgia, 72 to 80, Alabama, 1982, where he currently resides. Education, Cherokee High School. Religion, Baptist. Present occupation, tire store manager. Former occupation, insurance sales. Has not participated in any national events or local events. U.S. citizen. Major accomplishments, 2 children, Mona Denise Carlisle, 22, and Carrie Nicole Carlisle, 6.
My name is John Carlisle. Known by a lot of people as Mike Carlisle, as John Michael Carlisle. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, in Crawford Long Hospital. Grew up in Atlanta, Georgia until age of 13. Just basically was a street kid. We lived in a subdivision, I guess, built like a lot of subdivisions after the war. A lot of small houses in a small area.
What war?
World War II. My father fought in World War II and was able to get a loan through the government to buy a house whenever he got out of the service. My mother and father worked a lot, and we kind of just did what we wanted to. We had, sometimes we had a housekeeper and sometimes we didn't.
Which parents did?
My daddy worked in the body and fender business and repaired automobiles. My mother worked in ice cream parlors and 10 cents, 5 and dime stores. Is what she did. And still does, as a matter of fact. Works for Kmart now, which is a variation of the Five and Dime store. About the first recollection I really have of anything going on, we lived in this small neighborhood and run up and down the streets with the kids in the neighborhood and walked from there to all the way down to Cascade Heights and to the drugstore and bought ice cream and limeade sodas and that sort of stuff and walked them back and forth to school, which was about maybe 2 miles.
Remember the name of the school?
E.L. Conley Grammar School. Used to have a lot of fights on the streets with the other kids, you know, other guys, boys and stuff. Just kid stuff, you know, ride your bicycle. There was a take the shortcuts, jump the creek, and get muddy and dirty before you got to school. Fussed out when you got back home for that, you know, that sort of thing. But I remember it was... I didn't really have a realization of how big Atlanta was. All I had was like a small area of Atlanta, which I lived in and traveled in. As I got older, I realized how big the city was. But
have you been back to that area since you left?
Yeah, I've been back 3 or 4 times, I guess.
Has it changed a lot?
A lot. The reason for us to move out of that area was because it was becoming... more populated with black people, which my father felt would be better if we didn't live in that situation or that area at the time, because it was kind of a violent time with black people. They had a lot of riots and a lot of demonstrations and that sort of thing. Things were really beginning to change in that, at that time, as far as how black people were viewed and how they were treated, and they were fighting for their own rights at that time, you know. And so, person against person disturbances, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And people against people, black against white, skirmishes and stuff like that.
Was your school pretty mixed?
No, it was pretty well white, pretty much white when I went there. Again, it was beginning to become mixed, but at that time they hadn't said that you had to have a certain number of blacks or a certain number of whites in the school. So I remember too, that was kind of the beginning of the age of electronics for me. TV became popular, and we finally got a TV, you know.
Color of black and white?
It was black and white. It was green looking, kind of. It wasn't really a black or white. It was kind of a green looking tint to it. I don't even know where it came from. I just know my father came in with it one day.
Before that, have you guys listened to radio?
Yeah, we'd listen to the radio and that sort of thing. Listen to the Lone Ranger on radio and stuff like that. So, you know, electronics were there. We had electricity in the house and all the modern conveniences in the house, and the gas floor furnace and everything else. But as far as TV and luxury items, which was considered a luxury item then, you know, there wasn't a lot of that. Like I said, the radio and stuff like that. Electrical appliances, there wasn't hardly anything like that. The gas stove. Fancy like now, as far as electronic appliances, cameras, the old Browning box camera, had those.
What was that?
Just a box type camera with a roll of film at 120, roll of film, I think is what they use. Fairly simple. I mean, it just had like a shutter and like that. It was a real simple type camera. It was just a big black box type camera. It wasn't nothing really spectacular, but at that time it was the best that was there, and it worked well. So, as far as school and that sort of stuff, school for me was not very good. I didn't do well in school. I was too much, I moved around too much. I like to get up and move around and do things, and it was boring to me the curriculum they were trying to teach, and I never did get into it, and therefore end up being a problem child, they call me, I guess. I didn't do the exact time, and if I did, I got finished with it, and then I was up running around the room and sharpening my pencil and all that sort of stuff. Stayed in the principal's office a lot. Instead of getting spankings then, they talk to you. They talk down to you, you know. So it wasn't a good time. School wasn't a good time for me in Atlanta. Really hated it. And then I got into playing in the school band. Started playing the bass, the big bass, the one that you stand up and play. And I had to carry this thing back and forth to school, walking back and forth to school, carrying this thing. Me and somebody else usually. Carried it and played it for a while, and then I played before I left the school, and we moved. Played in a recital there and did pretty good with that. And after that, I never did get back into it, never did take it back up. After I went to the new school, they didn't offer anything like that. So, but.
Do you think you could still play it? Do you think you could still
no.
play it? Well, with your mother and father both working, and sometimes you having a housekeeper and sometimes not, did you guys cook your own meals? And
I used to cook cakes. I would get in there and bake a cake, and like butter cakes. I'd fill them full of butter. They'd be so soggy full of butter, they would be awful. But yeah, I used to do that. But as far as actual food to eat, no, we didn't do a lot of cooking on our own. We, you know, it was already like stuff you could just like spaghetti and stuff you could put in a pan and eat, that sort of thing.
And then you guys moved.
Yeah, well.
From the city.
Hmm.
Then you guys moved from the city.
Yeah, this was at age 13 we moved from the city, but up until that, but before that, you know, we had a lot of different things to do in the city, you know, as far as I played like peewee baseball and peewee football. And then I lived right there close, well within a mile of a golf course, John A. White Golf Course. And at age 13, I got in with one of the guys at school who was what they call shagging balls. And what you did was go pick up the golf balls that all these guys hit when they were practicing, and you got paid to do that. You got paid like a dollar a bucket to pick them up. And then from there you graduated into caddy to carry the golf bag, you know. And I ended up doing that, and that was really my first experience with working in a real job, you know, or a job, summer job. At age 13 and 14 I did that. Well, at age 13 up until we moved. That was kind of fun. I enjoyed that and learned a lot about the game of golf, which I played for a while after that. And then as I got older, just got to doing too many other things and never did get back into it. But still think about doing it. I would like to play the game again sometime. From there, we did move up into Jasper, Georgia. And it was like culture shock for me because I was used to the city and all the activity in the city. And where we moved was out in the country. And like the nearest neighbor was like nearly 2 miles away, a mile to 2 miles away. And so there was nothing there for me. Now during this time I'd also experienced when I lived in the city, some of the summers we would go and stay with my grandmother and grandfather out in the country and live there. And they became ill. Their health was not good. My grandfather had a heart attack and wasn't able to keep the farm up. He was a chicken grower, grew chickens for a living, plus farm the land, grew corn, and all the stuff that they ate, they grew. But he had a heart attack and wasn't able to do this anymore, so they had a big family meeting. And decided amongst the children, there were five girls in my mother's family, and this was my mother's parents. They made a decision and were trying to make a decision and couldn't decide whether to move the grandparents out or somebody move in with them, and my father and mother decided that they would move there. Out of the city and moved there, and because of the racial situation in the city and the area in which we live was fast becoming a black populated area, and so they decided it would be better, not only for that reason, but because of me and my brother, that we could probably grow up and do better if we moved there. Probably would have ended up in jail somewhere. Had we stayed in Atlanta, been hoodlums or something, I don't know. But we were fast going that way anyhow. But after, it was kind of a culture shock. There was nothing you know, nobody to see, nothing to do, hardly to start with. You know, even though we'd spent time there during the summers, it was still moving there, and knowing that was your permanent home was kind of major culture shock, knowing you weren't going back to the other.